Okay. So at the end of Parshas Shmos, it ends with Moshe Rabbeinu's famous question, Lama Hare Osa Amazeh, Lama Zeh Shilatani, Maaz Basi Opara Heirel Amazeh, Hatzeva Itzatos Amecha. Says, why did you make things worse for the Jewish people? Once I went to Paro, not only did I not succeed, but things got worse, because Paro then stopped giving them the raw materials to make the bricks, but kept the same amount of required production, and was punishing the Jews for not meeting the quotas. And Moshe felt very bad that he had caused this regression in the situation. Instead of helping the Jewish people, it actually made things much worse. So he asked Hashem, Lo Mare Osa Lam Vezeh, Lam Vezeh Shalachtani. And this week's parasha, which is the response, Rashi, quoting Chazal, says Hashem was criticizing Moshe for complaining. He says he isn't as good as the Avos. The forefathers, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, all had their own personal frustrations. Hashem promised them various blessings. Blessings didn't come when they thought they would. Things many times were worse than it would have been otherwise. And they never complained. And here he's complaining. So it was a criticism of Moshe Rabbeinu. And Hashem says, now it's going to work. Now things will get better. Now they will come out. So basically, we don't really understand why was Hashem criticizing Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't realize that he was going to make things worse. Hashem never told him that. And he felt very bad. He wanted to understand, Lama Hareot, why did Hashem make things worse? And Hashem's answer to Moshe Rabbeinu, we don't see a reason. Hashem doesn't say why he made things worse. He just says, now we'll see that things are going to get better. And they will go out and give him basically the 10 plagues to visit upon Paro and the Egyptians. He doesn't explain why things got worse in the interim.
This is
Parshas
Shmos, right?
This is Parshas
Ve'eru. No, I'm saying, well, didn't
the question of Lama Hareot Lama Zeh, the end of Shmos.
Didn't this episode happen in Parshas Shmos?
Yes.
Okay.
Right. Okay. Now, we go back, Shmos goes back to the Medrash in Parshas Vayeshev. The Medrash is commenting on the pasuk that Yaakov sent Yosef me'emek Chevron from the valley of Chevron, and that was the beginning of the Golos, because Yosef went to the brothers and then he got sold to Egypt, and that was the beginning of their going down to Egypt. Now, the city of Chevron is in mountains. Why does the pasuk say Emek Chevron? Obviously, there's a valley there because it's in mountains, but basically it's in mountains, so really you wouldn't necessarily connect the city to a valley, you'd rather connect it to the mountain. So, because the city is on top of a mountain. But in any event, why did the Torah say Emek Chevron? So the Medrash has a drash that there was a deep idea in Chevron that Hashem made the Bris Ben Hapsarim with Avraham Avinu in Chevron. The Bris Ben Hapsarim is the covenant which Abraham had this vision of the exile, that his children would be exiled for 400 years, Beres Lo Lahem, and God would redeem them. So this whole thing is coming from that dream, vision, covenant of Ben Absalom, which Hashem had with Abraham. And the Medrash says that there's something deep about this. What's the deep thing? Is that Avraham Avinu and Hashem were discussing the question of Jewish continuity. No know, Avram is a tzaddik, and Hashem blesses him. But the main blessing he got was that his children would continue, and his children would have the land of Israel, which is really the dream of every parent, that his legacy go on to his children, grandchildren, and so on. But the problem is that people being people, we can't expect people to continue the levels of Avraham Avinu. And there would be a Yerida, there would be a spiritual downfall. Now, it could even turn into the level of sins. It could be terrible sins would happen among the offspring of Avraham, which did. So, there has to be punishment, because Hashem deals with the world, especially the Jewish world, chesed, but it's a lot of din, a lot of judgment, justice, so therefore there'll be punishment. Punishment, then they lose the land. Then, so nations in general, they run out of gas, run out of steam. Eventually, nations sin so much, Hashem decides it's it. This nation will disappear from the face of history. So every nation in the world goes through its birth and its maturity, and then eventually it dies when it, you know, loses its raison d'etre and starts sinning, and doesn't have overall a positive contribution to make to history. It's becoming more of a bad thing, so therefore Hashem decides to, you know, die of old age. So we don't want that to happen to the Jewish people. We don't want the Jewish people to follow the course of history and disappear. So when the people sin, what will be the punishment which will not destroy them as a nation? That was the issue which Hashem and Avraham were discussing there by the prism in Absalom. What would be the secret of Jewish continuity? How would we continue? So Hashem told Avraham, I give you different options here. There's different options. So the Medrash says he gave him two options. You know, he says, what I could have them continue living in the land of Israel, just with their sins, with their terrible things that they're doing, and keep track of it, and then when people die, give them a real bad punishment and hell, so to speak, and they'll get known. So not only are they going to be punished for their individual sins, but they get punished for the national sins which are involved here. That would be very, very bad punishment after death. But in this world, they could continue living in the land of Israel despite doing all these terrible things which we know down the road will happen. It could be Avodah Zarah, it could be murders, stealing, you know, every sin in the book. But we won't do anything. We'll let them continue as a nation and just punish everybody in hell after death. We baby. So, or Hashem says we could create a punishment here in this world and you know, let them punish in this world, and then the next world they get their reward. So the Jewish people will suffer in this world. They will continue existing, because that's what we want, it's you and I, Hashem and Avraham. But their existence will involve tremendous suffering in this world because of all the sins and crimes which they do. Instead of, you know, there are three options. One is the nation should just disappear like all other nations do at some point, that we don't want. Or have them continue like a regular nation in this world, but get like a super punishment after death, individual plus national, or create punishment in this world for the nation which doesn't involve extinction. They will continue as a nation, but be punished. That would be exile. They'll lose the land of Israel, wander around the world in the other nations and be and suffer in the other nations, the suffering of discrimination. So why did he choose, he tells Avram? So Avram chose this option of Gos. He chose that this should be the fate of the Jewish people when they sin, not to disappear like other nations do, not to continue as if nothing's wrong and just get a super punishment after death. But he wants his children to get heaven. He wants his children to go to heaven, not to go to hell. So they go to heaven, but they'll have to suffer in this world, and the suffering will be exile, Golos, and everything that comes along with Golos. That's what he chose. So, so we have the gift. So the Jews get three tremendous blessings. They get the blessing of Eretz Yisrael, Torah, Olam Haba. If there's a price, if they're not doing the mitzvahs properly, they're going to have suffering with these three gifts. But that suffering is going to be in this world. It's not going to be in the next world. So they're able to keep the Torah, keep on having Torah. And the theory they can still have Eretz Yisrael. And in reality, they will get Olam Haba. But they're going to pay the price for sinning in this world, and that's going to be the Golos. This was the Eitzah Muka. This was the deep idea which Avraham Avinu agreed upon in his discussion with Hashem following the Bris Ben Absarim. That's what the Medrash says. Very interesting Medrash. Okay. So actually, it's not just punishment, the exile. It's also a motivator to do tshuva. So if the problem is sins, so anything which can help us do tshuva is good. So the exile and all that suffering will... So we recognize it all the time that we are exiled because of sins, and we have to do tshuva. We try our best, you know, we're trying, whether it's during the week, as we dive into three Shmon Esrei. So much of those of our regular Shmon Esrei is this thing, Smach Avinu Ki Chatanu, and right away we say right after that, Reivonenu Ugolenu. So the recognition of our sins will lead us to do tshuva, and that will lead to the redemption. And the whole Shmon Esrei, basically, a lot of it is about this concept. So it turns out that the suffering is not just atonement, but it actually helps fix the problem. The problem is sinning, so by suffering, people will do tshuva. However, if they know that in theory, we're going to get punished in hell, that's not such a motivator to do tshuva. People don't see it. They don't realize what it is. And so therefore, it doesn't really motivate as much, this fear of what's happening to me after death. Will I have Gan Eden? Will I have Gehenom? What's going to happen? So that's not such a motivator to do tshuva. However, the exile, which is here and now, that is a motivator. So people get a tremendous yearning to come back to Israel. Yes?
So in a sense, tshuva is through exile, is like a double blessing in the sense that, A, you know, the idea that it's through Golos, you know, not in Olam Haba, we get the opportunity for tshuva. Additionally, that, you know, it's clear to us that, you know, why did you do tshuva versus if it was only in Olam Haba, it wouldn't be so clear to us. So it's the double on both realizing that, you know, it's here, it's very clear to us also to avoid further punishment or worse punishment in Olam Haba.
Exactly. Yes, everything So, so there's a silver lining in the gullus, is that, that it must result in geula and redemption. So the geula, the future geula, is a direct result of the gullus. So it turns out that in a certain way, the worse the gullus is, the greater there will be the geula, because the worse gullus will create bigger tshuva and will get more of a geula, more of a redemption. Okay. So the, it does say in the Tanakh that the gullus is a chilul Hashem, that the fact that we are in exile itself is an embarrassment. It's an embarrassment for us, an embarrassment for Hashem, that His holy people is in exile and is not being redeemed. And it does create chilul Hashem, because all the other nations, they say, oh look, the Jews are suffering, they deserve it, and they're bad people. So all of that is a very bad reflection on our connection to Hashem. Yes.
But on the other side, the whole idea of Jewish continuity amongst in the exile would maybe be a kiddush Hashem. I mean, the fact of the matter that we're able to survive despite that, you know, and like, you know, even the goyim of like even like wrote about it and like recognized that, like, how is it possible that Jews survived? So it's clear that down that end, it's a kiddush Hashem.
Exactly. So the Jewish survival in exile becomes a kiddush Hashem, right? Because we stick it out. Okay.
But that's only in the case when we observe like Torah mitzvot.
Yes.
Because that will only allow our survival.
Exactly. Okay. So we see that, let's say, for example, the gullus in Egypt is a terrible gullus. Jews were slaves and terrible suffering physically. There was also a massive national genocide. They were killing Jewish babies. They said it was going on for decades. It was terrible. So it was a terrible, terrible gullus. However, the geula was tremendous, because that redemption brought us the Torah, brought Hashem back into the world. Hashem became a participant in human history, and continues. So, and all the lessons which we got. So, because it was a terrible gullus, but that terrible gullus triggered a tremendous redemption. So, and it says in the Psukim that the final redemption will be even greater than the Egyptian redemption. Because the exile, which has been taking place now since the Second Temple, is much longer than the exile of Egypt. The exile of Egypt was about 200 years, you know, at the end of the day. And our exile is around 1,900 years. It's much, much longer than the exile there. And unfortunately, we had a Holocaust, which was worse than what was going on in Egypt. We lost 6 million people in 5 years. It's incredible. So it was a much worse exile. Because our exile has been the worst of all the exiles, therefore our redemption is going to be much greater than all the previous redemptions, including the redemption from Egypt. It's going to be so amazing, this redemption, that there's opinions in the Gemara, we're not even going to mention anymore that there was a redemption from Egypt. The Mitzvah Yetzias Mitzrayim will not exist in Yemos HaMashiach. To mention the Mount Tiskas Yom Tzei Tzayim may not exist in Yemos HaMashiach because of the big redemption.
Isn't one of the opinions, I think it's it's in the Masechet Brachos, the Mount Tiskas Yom Tzei Tzayim Mitzrayim Koyim Mechayecha, so I should say Kabbal. One opinion is by morning and by night, and the other is from the Zend and all the Ba.
That's the Mashiach, right?
Yeah, so.
That's the Machlokas there, right?
Yeah.
And, right, exactly.
So I guess according to that opinion, we you will still remember.
Yeah, but the Gemara says it's going to be tougher. It's not going to be as important as talking about the real big redemption at the end. Okay, because that redemption at the end is not going to just fix this Jewish situation, which Mitzrayim did. It's going to fix every person in the world. V'yedu, kol pol katov, atov, yavim kol yisur katov, yitzato. Every creature will accept Hashem. So everybody in the world will be full of the knowledge of Hashem. K'mayim l'yam l'chasim, like the water covers the ocean. Every creature, v'yedu kol pol katov, atov, so every creature will know Hashem's presence will be manifest, will be something which is going to be, you know, real to every single person. So that's going to be a much greater redemption than the redemption from Egypt. Because the Golus was much greater than the Golus of Egypt. Therefore, the redemption would be a much greater universal event. Okay. So that was what Avraham Avinu said, that redemption from exile. That exile is the exile and the suffering of Jews throughout the world will be the key in the redemptive process, which will then guarantee Jewish continuity, which is what he wanted. Okay. Now, the Gemara says that the person does tshuva from Ava, his averos, which he did before, become mitzvos. Why is that so? So the answer is like this, because the person has sins, and he realizes that these sins are terrible for him. They're making him have a horrible life. And he doesn't like it. And he wants to have a good life, a moral, ethical, spiritual, holy life. But his sins are destroying that. So therefore, those sins motivate him to change. And he jumps into the good life, the moral, ethical, spiritual life. So then it turns out that those sins were the motivator. So they turn into a mitzvah. Sins cause him to do tshuva. So therefore, in a certain way, a Baal tshuva is sometimes greater than a tzaddik, because a Baal tshuva can have a passion for things that some good people lack, one which the sins help to create within him. Okay. Clear doesn't mean that you should sin and then do tshuva. But if a person did sin and follows with tshuva, his sins can become mitzvos. The sinner is not condemned. He can repent by giving him the power and energy to serve Hashem. Okay. So therefore, Baal Tshuva many times has more drive, energy, and spirituality than someone who is born religious. Born religious sometimes creates an attitude of just mechanical Jewish lifestyle. And the Baal Tshuva has a motivated, inspired lifestyle. Because the mistake of sinning, that's what propels him to higher heights in Avodas Hashem, and his sins become mitzvos. Okay, so that's the Golus and Geula, which is working on the national level, because the Golus is the result of the sins, and the Geula is going to be the result of the tshuva, or as you said, the commitment to stay firm despite the Golus. So Golus essentially is Chilul Hashem. It's a desecration of Hashem's name, because we are people of Hashem. If we are suffering in exile, Hashem is suffering in exile. His holy name, which is associated with us, is a target. People say Hashem has abandoned us and chosen other people. However, Hashem made his choice of this people, and he does not change. But the saving grace of the exile is that it must conclude with Geula. So so, and this terrible exile of Egypt, however, was followed by the tremendous redemption which gave us the Torah. And they, when they left Egypt, they had tremendous enthusiasm for the Torah, and they said, Nasa v'nishma. They learned the lesson of Golos. In other words, they learned that all that suffering, which was a result of their sins, motivated them never ever to want to try to sin again and to do tshuva. So the Geula fixes that Chilul Hashem. The Chilul Hashem is that people say that God has broken his covenant and his relationship with the Jewish people. The Geula restores that reality into people's consciousness. So the Geula is a Kiddush Hashem. Okay. So Golos really leads to Geula. So there's a Shema Shmuel around the year 1900 or so. So he's saying that all the Jewish suffering that he saw is going to lead to a great, great Geula, which we're beginning to see today. Yes.
So the question is that when we say Geula is the real Kiddush Hashem, are we saying, let's say, for example, both, let's say, the Mitzrayim and here nowadays in Eretz Yisrael, is it the fact that the Kiddush Hashem was that, you know, Hashem took us out and, you know, we did, you know, with the 10 plagues and everything like that, and so to hear moving to Eretz Yisrael, you know, having that ability, or really the Kiddush Hashem, really what we are doing, meaning by, like, Har Sinai, us saying Naaseh Nishma, was that the real Kiddush Hashem in here too, meaning it's one thing to be in the land, but like, you know, to be so fruitful and productive and to allow all these things, that would be the real Kiddush Hashem. Meaning, the thing that Hashem allows us to do, either come back to Eretz Yisrael or free us from Mitzrayim, that's just like the trigger of the Geula. But the Geula is, at the end of the day, is on, up to us to do the Kiddush Hashem.
Yeah, I think you're right that both the two levels here of Kiddush Hashem, one is a more like broad Kiddush Hashem, the fact that the Jewish relationship with Hashem has been reestablished and is functioning in public. That itself is a Kiddush Hashem. But that means God's promises are becoming true, which is Kiddush Hashem. However, it's also at the same time as a tremendous Kiddush Hashem that the Jewish people are doing by having a greater and stronger commitment to the Torah and the Mitzvah. So, for example, now we see that the Daf Yomi phenomenon, incredible Kiddush Hashem that the Jewish people are doing right now. It didn't exist even 200-300, even in, you know, I don't know since when have we had so many Jews learning Shas at a deep level. I don't know when that was. Maybe you have to go back to the time of Rebbe Akiva. They said he had 24,000 students who were learning, I guess, all of Shas at the time. But then maybe before that, Moshe says Chizkiyahu HaMelech was a period of tremendous Torah learning that every Jewish child in the whole country knew the Mishnayos of Tum and Tahara by heart. But we haven't had this level of Torah learning in thousands of years, close to 2,000 years at least. So you can say 100,000 Jews are sitting every day in the Daf Gemara. So, and I'm sure by the end of the next cycle, by the end of the 7 years, we'll have many thousands, if not tens of thousands, who'll be finishing Shas. And with all these aids and reviews. So as Reb Chaim Kanievsky said in his blessing at the Siyum, he said, my blessing is that besides learning and finishing Shas, you know Shas, you know it. And with all of this, these tests and quizzes and so on, it's going to happen. So this is a tremendous Kiddush Hashem that the people are doing on the ground. And I think that you can say that it was because of the terrible bitter Golus which we went through and culminated with the unfortunate Holocaust. Now, it's only 70 years later, you have this tremendous desire to rebuild Torah and mitzvot and to get things on the right track. So this is the Kiddush Hashem that the Jewish people is doing. Hashem is doing it, Kiddush Hashem, obviously, in his level by bringing us back to the land of Israel and showing that he and we are connected. So that's a Kiddush Hashem on the broader level. But as you said, well, there's a double Kiddush Hashem going on. There's a Kiddush Hashem on the broad level and a Kiddush Hashem on the individual level, which all is a result of this very, very long, very difficult galus. And now as we move into Geula, we see Kiddush Hashem replacing Chilul Hashem. Just in general, just the situation of the Jew in the world, again, it's on the broader level, has dramatically changed. Today, both the President of the United States and the President of Russia support the Jewish rights to the land of Israel, which was unheard of. Russia was always against us, now the Russian. In fact, he might be in the country today, whatever, but he's visiting Israel, maybe this week. He's a very good friend of Israel, President Putin of Russia. Very good friend of Israel. He lets Israel bomb Syria and take out the Iranians. So he's been really good. And America being on the same page like that, Trump knocking off the head of the Iranian army, and it's all good for Israel. So I think that you're seeing a broader Kiddush Hashem that the nations of the world are saying, you know, something special about the Jewish people in the land of Israel deserves our support. So, Galus leads to Geula, to a greater redemption. Okay. So, okay, we'll come back a little bit more to the Galus and Geula idea, which is a fundamental part of life. As he says, that we have 6 days of the week, followed by a Shabbos. The 6 days of the week are the galus, the exile of the soul from spirituality. We only Shabbos do we have a day complete of spirituality, Mein Olam Haba. But after the sin of Adam and Chava, Hashem saw that it was not right for people to be in Gan Eden for 7 days. Shabbos is a kind of a Gan Eden. But people have to lose it, go through 6 days of being alienated, separated from spirituality, and we appreciate the sweetness of the spirit on Shabbos. We face many difficulties that make us feel distance from Hashem during the week. But this distance helps us value and achieve on Shabbos closeness that we miss during the week. So whoever works on Erev Shabbos eats food on Shabbos, the Gemara says. Whoever struggles to prepare food on Friday will eat and enjoy the meals of Shabbos. Some who struggle with alienation, spiritual distance during the week, will experience the connection and strengthening of Shabbos and will retroactively enjoy the 6 days without Shabbos, because the Golus itself turns into a mitzvah, to something good, making a Kiddush Hashem at the end. Okay. Okay. It says, Mikolas Maim Rabim Adivim Adab Amorim Hashem. So in the Pesukim we say when we go to Shabbos, the sounds of all the raging waters, these are the nations of the world who array themselves against the Jewish people. At the end, it's the power of Hashem that is supreme. So the Golus produces the great sanctification of Hashem's name. Okay. So Paro was saying no, no, no to the message of Hashem to let the Jewish people go. Now it sounds crazy because this is the Creator talking to you, how you can't possibly stand up to him in a realistic way. But that's why Hashem gave people the ability to make that choice, to so to speak, to defy him, which is sort of perverted and really foolish, crazy, but people will do that. So especially the very wicked people, they are so fanatical and their hatred, that they will pervert even Hashem's voice. So Dafka, after hearing Hashem telling him, let them go, he made things worse. So he took Hashem's message and turned it into something evil. So that's why Hashem made a punishment for Paro. He took away his ability to do tshuva. So no matter how much he's going to be punished, and he would want to change, not because he became a better person, but because he just doesn't want to suffer, Hashem says, I will not let you change. You will be strong. You will take the suffering. So Hashem took away his tshuva as a punishment for his crazy idea to take Hashem's, to make that decision of going against Hashem's directive, of even using Hashem's directive as a reason to make things worse. So Hashem said, okay, you made that decision, so now there's another decision which you probably would make after suffering a lot. You probably would say, let them go. I'm not going to let you do that because I want you to suffer even more. The thing is, Hashem really wanted to give power many more plagues, but the Jews were at the breaking point, so he took them out. The 10 plagues was not enough for power, but losing the power of tshuva was part of the punishment. Now, Moshe asked Hashem, why did you make the things worse? So he says to him, well, I promised Avraham I'm going to take them out. So Hashem wanted that the Golas should get worse so there'd be a greater Geula. Hashem wanted to let the evil make that decision to do the ultimate evil, I mean to stand against Hashem and say, I'm not going to listen to you, I'm going to make things worse. In order for that evil to be destroyed and Hashem's name to be sanctified, we have to be able to see that the evil people will make that decision and they will pay the price. Hashem will let them make that decision. His wisdom and sort of generosity for people, he lets people make even this kind of a decision to go against him himself. But there is a price. They will be punished. And that was Hashem's answer to Hashem. He says, to Moshe, he says, yes, it got worse, because the Geula is going to get greater. Because I have to show that ultimately, I will let people make even the worst decisions, but at the end, I will judge. So this paradox of people having the freedom to choose, but ultimately Hashem is in control. That was what was going on over here. He wants to let people choose, but he is in control. So that's why the Medrash is criticizing Moshe, saying that he didn't think it through properly, because when Hashem said, I'm going to make Power's heart strong and not listen to you, he was saying Power will have the freedom to make decisions to make even things worse. He should have understood that could happen. Okay, so as we go through our own 6 days of the week, we go through our own sufferings of the exile, we must have hope and feel encouragement that the Geula will be even greater than the exile. We have faith in the coming redemption, which takes strength and encouragement during the exile. As we go through the sufferings of the covenant between Hashem and Avraham, we know that a great future is developing. That's the plan for Jewish history until the advent of the great redemption, which we eagerly await. So we see, yes, that there's been a lot of suffering. We see ongoing suffering, unfortunately. But we also see the redemption in progress. So we know that redemption is going to be the greatest ever. It gives us a lot of hope and encouragement. And maybe we have some of the kinds of questions that Moshe Rabbeinu had, why did things get worse, or why things so slow, and why does this happen or that happen? And at the end of the day, we don't know the real answer, but we do know that the end is going to be much greater than it would have been otherwise. And this is a part of God's plan, and his, as he balances this, letting people make their decisions, but being ultimately in charge of the consequences and the ultimate justice. And the Jewish people, who have, as we said, the power of steadfastness through the Kiddush Hashem, to see through, they will be zocher for the great Kiddush Hashem of the Gula Shalema. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.